Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Here's a pitch to AJ. Swing and a drive to left field. Diamondbacks lead it 3-0 on a... caught out there by Cuevas. No. That ball died at the wall, and Cuevas made the catch. Pollock takes off his helmet. He was like me. He thought it was gone, and the inning comes to an end. He hit that ball a mile, but it was caught. Cuevas looking back at the replay, and he caught it maybe a step or two from the wall. So the Diamondbacks, a bad break. Looked like a 3-0 lead. It stays 1-0, and the inning is over. We go to the bottom of the fifth.
Hey, thanks to Plumbers Local 3. Love Plumbers Local 3. I don't know if that's the big story, but that's a funny call, right? It's gone! Arizona leads 3-0. Oh, it's caught! Talk about
Here's a pitch to AJ. Swing and a drive to left field. Diamondbacks lead it 3-0. On a... caught out there by Cuevas. That ball died at the wall, and Cuevas made the catch. Pollock takes off his helmet. He was like me. He thought it was gone.
Because he's an idiot, too.
I love the baseball announcer voice.
Yeah, the Brockmeyer voice. Here's the pitch. I love how they're such good friends with the players. TJ at the plate. Let's see what TJ was tucking me into bed last night. It's gone. 3-0. Oh, caught! The absurdity of it all. The injustice. We've been done wrong by Mother Nature. God hates the Diamondbacks. 1-0 remains the score. Here's Benny. Betty was sharing some popcorn with me on the plane, and it's a drive to center field. I love Ben. Oh, it's caught. Oh, mother of pearl.
Mother of pearl.
The absurdity of this is paramount to the great catastrophes of the ages. Why did the wind just sort of come up at the last second to deprive Benny of that well-deserved home run? Does everybody know how many push-ups he did in the offseason? That's a bad play-by-play call, man. You blow like a home run. TJ hits it. It's 3-0 Diamondback.
Here's a pitch to AJ. Swing and a drive to left field. Diamondbacks lead it 3-0.
Caught out there by
Cuevas. That ball died at the wall, and Cuevas made the catch.
No.
Pollock takes off his helmet. He was like me. He thought it was gone.
He's an idiot.
Can you blame him? They've beat the Rocks 6 times this year.
Dude, just wait till the ball leaves the park before you
get a little excited.
I got a home run call.
Give it to me.
Yeah, here's a pitch. Long, strong, go! I thought that was pretty good.
No, that's not good.
I'd be like, long, strong, God at the fence.
Are you like a little, are you French a little bit? Just a little luz and...
Long, strong, Lagone.
She gone.
Fire up the phones. You all have to have a call.
I'll break this down to me.
Drew's call is, you won't see it for long.
Yeah.
Take a good look, you won't see it for long. I like long, strong, gone. Long, strong, gone.
It sounds
See, in Brockmeyer, he's obsessed with the Godfather. So all of his calls have, Godfather-type references. Brockmeyer is such a good show. Hey, slaughtered my boy, Sonny. He slaughtered it like they slaughtered my boy.
That one could be trouble. Spine giving chase, so is Young. And look how they massacred my boy. Here comes the 0-2. Oh, Michael Corleone says hello. So, folks, two outs, bottom of the fourth. Barzini's a pimp. Could never have outfought Santino.
Barzini's a pimp. That's good stuff.
That is.
Oh, you can stick me in some kind of Italian boat because that one is gondola.
Awesome. What a great show.
Oh, good stuff, man.
Happy birthday, Chad Brown.
Thank you, sir.
48 years young today.
Yeah,
and
man.
How did the dunk go?
I had to warm up in the basement, as I knew I would.
Uh-huh.
Rode the bike for a little bit. Got on my Rip Row, which is a excellent piece of exercise equipment by my good friend Lee McCormack.
All right.
Got my hips and legs activated.
Nice. Activate.
Got out there, got hung up on the rim a couple of times.
Oh!
Finally got one down.
Nice. Is it online?
Wait.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Went to review the video.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't slow motion it. So I had to do it again. So, you know, hopefully I had one more in me.
And?
I got one more in me. So you can go to at Chad Brown 94 on my Twitter page.
All right. I'm looking for it.
You will see me dunking in slow motion.
I got some sort of other thing. What are you? How many tweets did you put out there today?
Well,
you put a bunch out there.
It's been a busy day.
Another year. Oh, the outdoor court. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh, in slow motion. Shot down from below. One hand. Goes up with the left hand.
I'm left-handed.
Look at that. Boom! Goes the dynamite.
Hercules.
And that was the second one.
Shakalaka. That was the second successful one.
Nice job, dude. That's awesome. You can do that. Boy, man, you were really, got ahead in slow-mo is really something. How long is this thing?
It's like 40 seconds.
Yikes. It's a long slow-mo. And then the look at the camera.
And the point.
I'm surprised you didn't have like the drone with the aerial shot and the, all the.
Maybe next year we can get Johnny Love to come over.
Oh, if you put Johnny Love and the gang on it, it would be amazing.
We'll make a big event out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Love will come over. The drone shot.
You could have Zach Bye betting, like, who doesn't, you know, if you, how many chances it takes. And
you're funny.
Thanks, Zach.
A couple of side bets going. How many times will he get hung before he gets a good one down?
Right.
How many people on Twitter will doubt that it's actually a 10-foot
Right, rim? Right. We got to have the measurement.
Yeah.
No, you look good, though, dude. Congratulations.
Thanks, yeah.
That's awesome. What time of day did you do that?
About 9:45 this morning.
Who were the witnesses?
The camera. That's all the
Just
witnesses.
Just you? You don't? This isn't a family sort of thing? It's not a...
My son was sleeping. He doesn't care.
Okay. But you care enough to post it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay. So you care a little bit who sees it, but you're trying to be cool around the family.
I'm not going to, go wake my son up. No. If you're up, you're up. Hey, I'm going to go dunk, kid.
Wife doesn't care? She just lets you have your thing?
She was working out. I didn't want to disrupt the flow.
Does the family congratulate you? Do they gather around you? And
No. There's
nothing?
No.
It's just your thing.
It's just my weird thing.
That you share on social media and then talk about on a radio program.
You asked me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could make it a big deal. I mean, we got all sorts of cameras and stuff around here. It's crazy.
Can Chad pull it off again?
Yeah. 48. So what have you learned in your 48 years? What's your sage advice at age 48? What would you like to share with the class at 48?
You need to, for your own sake, reduce your expectations of other people.
Whoa! Let me think about that for a second. You have to reduce your expectations of others.
Yeah. If you're expecting people to do certain things or behave a certain way, in the end, you're going to be disappointed. If that's how you roll through life with this huge set of entitled expectations.
Wow.
That the world's going to lay down in front of you. It's just not going to work that way.
Mm.
It doesn't. That's my old man advice.
Man. And what, do you have an example of how you came to this cynical conclusion of life?
Well, we've all been disappointed by people. But then you look back at those disappointments and you go, really? Did they disappoint me? Or did I already know? That when Alfred Williams says, hey, man, we should go out, There's like a 50-50 chance that's actually going to happen.
50-50.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's overstating it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm going to meet you by the bar. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. I certainly won't be there early with my shoes tied and my money in my pocket waiting for you.
Okay. So do you think you've been a little too naive through the course of your life, or at least at certain moments of your life?
Yes. I think the... And not just...
Because essentially, if you thought people were just kind of scum in the first place, you would never be disappointed.
True.
I mean, to have this sage advice, you must at some point thought better of the human race.
Right. But beyond whether they're a good person or not a good person, how fair is it for me to put expectations on... Yes, I expect my wife to perform wifely duties, my kids to be, you know, at least decent standing citizens.
Yes.
It's fine to have a certain amount of expectation. I'm not saying pull all expectation off the table. But the higher level expectation is for anybody, the more easily you're going to be disappointed. So just be prepared to be disappointed. Reduce your expectations a little bit, and you'll be happier.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
I mean,
I thought you were going to say, like, you know, keep a spare set of keys in your wallet or something, but, you know.
No.
Don't use the fake rock, you know, I don't know, but
no.
It was more higher level. Yeah, should not be surprised that I get that from you.
You shouldn't think of yourself so highly that somehow people are going to do what you think they're going to do.
Mm. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to crack into coaching for a couple of years. I think I've got a pretty good resume as a player. I've been with Hall of Fame coaches. I think I know a little something about football.
I would definitely agree with you.
No one's knocking down my door right now for having me come coach for them.
It's been surprising.
So if that was my expectations, I would walk around disappointed and bummed out.
Right, 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 right.
But then, you know, I talked to a guy like Kevin Green. He had to do 5 internships before he got a coaching gig. He's in the Hall of Fame, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
I see where you're going.
That's a small example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well said.
Thanks,
my man. One of my favorite guys.
I'm sorry it's not funny.
Chad Brown. It's okay. As long as one of us is funny, it's all right.
Funny to you.
Well, you know.
Well, sometimes we're laughing at you. And sometimes we're laughing with you.
You want to say something?
No.
You want to say something? Why don't you say it? You want to say it? Say it.
I don't have anything to say.
No, you do. You do have things to say.
Do it!
I mean, you had things to say yesterday. Behind the scenes on social media.
Well, you are wearing a fresh shirt today.
Thank you.
After 3 days in a row.
Right.
You freshened it up.
Right.
Whether that shirt is actually fresh or not.
This shirt? I think it's fresh.
Just because it's newly seen in the last 3 days.
Came out of the
pile on the floor?
Yeah. No, it was like with the clean clothes. You're a jerk. You're not a jerk. I don't know why I wore the same shirt 3 days in a row.
It was awesome.
Well, I didn't even realize I had done it.
That's how awesome it was.
Yeah, I mean, then you...
You're so passionate about this radio show and delivering the listeners in Denver radio gold
I
every day.
I really had just picked up the shirt.
You went full Einstein.
Yeah.
I can't even think about clothes. Yeah, I've got important things to take care of and do.
Can I tell you something? Not only did I not realize I did it, but on the third day of wearing it, I put it on backwards and saw people out in the real world and did not realize it was on backwards.
Inside out. Because if you had
that
button-down shirt backwards, that would be really, really bad.
Sorry, inside out, okay. Right backwards with the collar. Yes, backwards would have been, I wasn't quite that out of it.
Okay.
It's like I'm in a Shine 2, you know, playing Flight of the Bumblebees on like a recorder.
Oh,
shirt's
man.
On backwards. Shine, dude. Does anybody get that? I don't know. It's a good movie. Look it up. Yeah, no, I don't know. That was a quirky thing, and you pointed it out, and people had fun with it, and rightfully so. And then I joked about, you know, I should just wear it every single day. Because then it would look like I was doing something.
If I
were going to continue to wear it, it would look like I wore it 3 days on purpose. And to show you how dopey I am, I realize, oh, man, I really should wear this now every single day because at least I'll look like I'm doing something. Instead, today I just wake up and just randomly put on another shirt.
Again.
I mean, for no purpose.
It speaks to the lack of concern
over
all of that.
Right.
But I would have liked to seen you go on the whole week. It would have been like, did you do some time on the billboard?
Me?
Yes.
No, I wasn't. That was G-Man. I've done other radio stunts in my life, Chad. I just have not done billboard. I have not been billboard guy.
Okay.
I have been stunt boy, though, early in my career.
What was stunt boy?
You know,
boy?
When, like, you were playing in the NFL and, you know, chicks, theoretically, and, you know, money. Sure. I was, you know, in costumes in the grocery store, dressed up like as a turkey on Thanksgiving, shopping for myself. You know, stuff like that.
It's character building, man.
Oh, I built a lot of character. Hey, you got to get on the air. You got to, you know, more you can do, right? It's like, this is me playing special teams.
Yeah, if you can long snap, hey, man, put it on your resume, homeboy.
Syracuse education is going great. I'm in a turkey costume on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. Where am I? Can I get a coupon for myself? My great days at, they actually called us something. It was called Torture Tuesday. Torture Tuesday. I was the star of Torture Tuesday.
What was the worst torture / costume you had to endure?
The most embarrassing thing? I did some really cool stunts that were fun and caused a 3-car accident one time on Grand Island unintentionally. I don't know. I did some crazy stuff, Chad. It was like a human hot dog, and listeners came down and put mustard and ketchup and relish on me.
But you did not get on a billboard.
It was like I wore a adult diaper and drank water until the moment of truth came. Right.
How well do it's adult diapers ridiculous. Work?
Not that great.
No, turns out,
as,
huh?
As I found out. Nothing to brag about. I really was like, wow, I went to the best broadcasting school in America for this. I really hated it. But it was like, you know, you had to.
Yeah.
I did hate doing it. I didn't mind doing things out and about and having fun. And, you know, if everybody was in on the joke. But who wants to be like, you know, that's why, like, if the Barry man or anybody else here at the station does something for us, I'm always very careful to say, okay, is this cool? Like, do you want to do this? Is this something fun? Is this a good deal?
Because you've been there. You've done that.
I've been there. Nobody wants to just, you know, get picked on and, you know, made fun of and that sort of thing. You can make fun of me. You can have fun at my expense and, you know, joke about stuff with me. That's okay. That's fine.
But you draw the line at people squirting mustard and ketchup on you.
Well, that just gets into just, you know, base humiliation for no other purpose than the host of the show. The host of the show at the time that I was in Buffalo was this dude named Larry. And Larry must have just been the last kid picked for every team he was ever on, because when he was getting his revenge. So he was a bizarre narcissist who loved to, you know, love that humiliation thing. He thought it was the greatest. And all I could figure out was that, you know, Larry must have been, you know, ignored, beaten up, last picked on every single team, you know, that sort of guy. Right. So here he was, you know, man of low self-esteem sort of, you know, piling on. Not to go, you know, too deep on a dude I hate, but, you know, that's Larry.
Okay.
So anybody named Larry is whew, I got to take a deep breath on that one.
Larry Stacey.
Yeah, well, he's pretty consistent with jerks, I guess. But, like, I like Larry Bird. I like Larry Walker. It's not all Larrys. It's just, you know, in general.
Larrys who do radio.
Larry. Larry. I'm Larry.
But you have a fresh shirt on.
I got a fresh shirt on.
And you've moved past being the stud guy.
Can I explain last night's blowout to you, baseball wise?
Yes,
Some people got upset with me because they thought I was raining on their parade.
Warning. Negative Nancy alert.
Here it comes.
Warning.
Here it comes.
Negative Nancy alert.
Well, I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but if you watch the game, and I'm sorry I don't know her name. She looks like she's doing a great job. She's Taylor McGregor. Thank you, Big Sexy. Man, Big Sexy on point. Taylor McGregor, rightfully so, is interviewing Ian Desmond, who hit a ball to Pluto yesterday. It was awesome. And, you know, everybody except for Parra had a big game yesterday. The Rockies put position players out on the mound for the Diamondbacks in the fourth inning, which hasn't happened since, like, 1903. And it was just a massacre of epic proportion. However, as it was going on, you have to realize something, that this is kind of like an NBA thing. Once it's a slaughter and the other team has waved the white flag, it's the rule of 60-60-42. You win 60, you lose 60. How are you going to compete in the other 42? For the Diamondbacks, they're just like, eh, it's a loss. You know, it's no more or no less. It doesn't matter the final score at a certain point. When it's over, it's over. And what they're going to do smartly is to save their pitching because they have a quick turnaround. And I wish our local broadcasters would broadcast games in the middle of the day. They don't. I think that's embarrassing. I've ripped on that 10 million times, so I don't want to bore everybody to tears with that rant. But we cannot watch the game here. It's probably on in Arizona. And let's see. What we got for a score right now? Still 1-0, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll get a game cast going on here in a second. But, you know, they know it's done, so it's over. Okay, fine. So Ian Desmond at the end of the game, when he's interviewed by Taylor, she goes, oh, what was like the most, you know, what were you thinking out there? You know, like, oh, let's get all excited. And he goes, I just wanted this to be done. You know, he's a professional baseball player. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he gets it. He goes, I just wanted it to be over. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And then somebody chimed in on social media. Do you think this will give the Rockies a lot of momentum? I go, no. No, they understand, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks are a Major League Baseball team. You know, they don't think any less of them. This isn't like, Cherry Creek High School playing Sisters of the Poor out in Adams County or something. This is, they're all major leaguers.
Sisters of the Poor in Adams County, they can play. Watch yourself, homeboy.
We had a game against them. They were bad. So I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but last night meant nothing more than just a good, solid win.
Yeah, you don't get any extra points for that because you put up 19 runs.
I'll give you something weird. If anything, and one of my, you know, one of the most tired baseball cliches or undereducated fans will say is, man, I wish we could save some of those runs for the next game.
Yeah,
it doesn't work like that. I wish we could score some. You know, we won by 30 in football. I wish we could have saved some of that for, you know, whatever. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Nobody thinks
Never
like
has.
That. It doesn't continue from one day to another. Mm-hmm. It happens in the NBA when a blowout is happening and another team just is like, all right, you got it, and that 15 to 20 point win could turn into 35 or 40.
Right.
Easily.
Other teams emptying their bench. LeBron's
sure.
off the floor
Who
halfway
cares?
Through the third quarter.
Game's
right.
done.
Right.
So I think it was like, you know, 10-0, or it was early. The Diamondbacks were down. And it just was not. Now, not good news for their, you know, starting pitcher. You know, that guy's, you know, having a hard time looking in the mirror today. But the rest of it, it's cool. It's fun. But I don't think that game. Even though the Rockies lost the night before, 5-3, I found that game a much more interesting game to be at than some sort of 19-1 blowout.
I'm tracking. That makes sense.
It's just a more exciting game.
Yeah,
you know, I even though they lost, you know, that game last night wasn't interesting.
Right.
It was interesting just to see position players. It was interesting to see pitches being thrown in a Major League Baseball game, like the same speed as JV baseball. That was kind of interesting. I mean, Chad, we're talking 72, 74 mile an hour fastballs. I mean, that is like, there's 14-year-olds who can throw harder than that.
All right. You're the baseball guy. I know we're up on it. But real quick, how does a manager make that position selection? Who's going to go up and pitch?
There's always dudes who, during, you just know. They throw on the side. They used to be pitchers in high school. You know, the vast majority of players on your baseball team could pitch. I mean, just stand up there and throw strikes. You know, every second baseman or shortstop or catcher or almost anybody on a major league roster could stand on the mound and just throw strikes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're really good. They're really good at baseball. They've probably all been pitchers at some point in their lives. But they weren't even trying. Because the last thing you want to do is tell your backup catcher, who can probably throw in the mid to upper 80s, to be quite honest with you. But you tell him, do not do that.
Right.
I want you to throw a bunch of, you know, maybe you have a little, you know, off-speed something or whatever, because you don't want to hurt yourself.
Right.
Right.
You got to catch potentially tomorrow.
So Avila goes up there for the Diamondbacks. I think he threw two shutout innings. He was just throwing, you know, because nobody knows how to hit a 74-mile-an-hour fastball in Major League Baseball. Except when Jamie Moyer's throwing it for real, and people figured that out. Quickly. Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Hi, Chad Brown. What do you think D-Mac? About T.O. being... the Hall of Fame basically ignoring T.O. Like, they're going to not talk about him or mention him or nothing. You're not coming to our party. We're going to pretend you're not even here.
Yeah.
Or not pretend you're not here. We're not even going to mention you.
Because you're not there at the party.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm fine with that.
Think it's stupid and petty by the Hall of Fame.
No, I think it's stupid and petty by T.O. not to show up.
I think T.O. can do whatever he darn pleases.
And he so got can the Hall of Fame.
What is this then?
It's a circular argument.
Silly. Are you inducting him or not? If you're inducting, mention him. Play a highlight video. Talk about how awesome he is. Have somebody speak on his behalf, I guess, and be done with it. It's about the most petty thing ever to elect somebody and pretend that he didn't get in or not mention him at all. I mean, it's silly.
Oh, okay, so let's have a graduation party for your son when he graduates from high school that he doesn't even show up to.
Right.
Here, son, we played a montage. We invited all your friends and family. We invited all the neighbors. And you're going to have a party someplace else. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you throw a party for someone who's not going to be there?
First of all, it's not an individual. A better example is, why don't you have a high school banquet? I'll give you a real case scenario. I was going through some emotional stuff after I graduated high school. In our high school baseball banquet, they stupidly didn't announce it to the last minute, and they waited till school was done, and we'd all graduated till they had their banquet. Another dumb thing. Have the stupid banquet while kids are still there. So I took a little sojourn. I took a walkabout when I graduated high school.
You went to the Australian Outback?
No, I drove up to Vermont for a week, and I just kind of chilled out, and I climbed some mountains and rode my bike, and my uncle lives up in Stowe, Vermont, so I just went up there and, you know, just cleared my head a little bit after high school was done. Right.
And
I was a deep thinker back then. I was severely emotionally bothered. Should they have not? I was a captain of the baseball team, and I won some sort of, like, coach's award or something. Should I have not been mentioned as the Coach's Award winner at the banquet?
Given your
because I wasn't there?
Given your scenario, you should have been. Given the T.O. scenario where he's deciding to throw
The whole event is not just for him. It's for a bunch of guys, and he's one of them.
Hear me out.
All right.
If you had decided to call the local paper and tell them how much the baseball banquet's going to suck, and I'm going to have my own banquet some other time in some other place, and it's going to be my thing... Then, yeah, at that point...
You may have a good point there. That's a pretty solid point on your part.
Right. The baseball coach should rightly deny talking about you and your award.
If I went up to Vermont and had my own baseball banquet for myself...
Yes. That's what T.O.'s doing. He's at his own Hall of Fame party.
All right. Good point.
Thank you.
Still, I believe it's petty by the Hall of Fame. Take the high road. Bongos.
Three.
This morning, I had a chance to watch Serena get herself into the Wimbledon finals.
Isn't that amazing? And she was really low ranked going into this. And she just had a baby this year. She is awesome.
Yeah, 10 months after the birth of her child.
Awesome.
But not only
that. Not only is she competing, but she's on a world-class level. It's amazing.
Yes, I think she came into the Wimbledon tournament ranked 186th. And now she's back in the finals again.
Really cool.
10 months after the birth of her child, where do you put her as far as an all-time great athlete? Does her greatness...
Way up there.
Not just for women's tennis.
Top 10, I think, yeah. Maybe top 10 of all time.
Athlete of all time.
Yeah. I mean, look what she's done. In an era where technology evens the playing field so often. She has just outpaced the competition by such a large amount. She's done it for a long time. She's an incredible champion. I mean, not only in singles with 23 majors, but also in doubles where she's won a ton with Venus. And I believe even in mixed doubles, she may have won some. And been such a great person for her sport, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not any kind of significant controversy of her doing. She had some controversy out in that racist tournament out in California. That was a long, long time ago, but that wasn't because of her. That was because they're a bunch of racists, and they've thankfully changed their ways over time. I love Serena Williams. Positive energy, incredible athlete, Olympic hero. What's not to love about Serena?
I'm with you.
One of the top of all time.
I'm with you. She's on the top 10 of my athletes as well.
Yeah, bongos.
Three!
Rockies blow out the Diamondbacks. What's more interesting? Does that consume your attention? Blowout wins like that, or is it just boring?
From a player perspective, I've always liked a. There's a lot more you can gain from a competitive win or a loss than you can from a blowout. So, to your point earlier in the show, the blowout's not as compelling. It's not as exciting, and I don't think you get as much from a team cohesion perspective and all of that as you do when you have a hard-fought win.
I agree. I think most times in blowouts, it's not like you're bonding with your teammates. It gets kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And you really are a little bored, to be quite honest.
And people are out there trying to do things that will pad their own personal stats. They're not really engaged in playing the game and doing the game plan. They're out there just going for their own glory at that point, and it just kind of devolves into a really silly, experience.
You know what? Coming up, though, I want to talk to you about the difference between blowouts in baseball and football. It's significant. Bongos.
Three!
NBA Commissioner Adam Sandler says the NBA...
Adam Sandler? That is
Silver.
Awesome!
Oh. Sorry.
Oh, I thought something
happened. Yeah,
happens.
Is okay. Considering changing the one-and-done rule.
It's great. It's so ridiculous. We live in America, right, Chad?
We do live in America.
Yeah, last time I checked, you have the right to work in America.
You do?
Yeah, so great. Get rid of it. Okay, wait, I should hold my horses. Is he suggesting something else that's preposterous that benefits the corrupt NCAA or just allow kids to, work?
I think it's going to go the way that you're talking about, where they will allow kids to enter in directly.
Yes.
And not force this rule.
As they used to.
As they used to do.
Right. Which is better for the NCAA, by the way, because it's more likely that kids will stick around longer. And so, all right. So the College World Series for baseball, right, man?
Yeah.
It's probably the equivalent of double A baseball, okay? Meaning, like, in the World Series championship game with Oregon State and, oh, my Lord, I'm forgetting who they played. That's terrible.
Baylor?
No. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting old. Anyways, there were future major leaguers all over the place. I think Oregon State had, like, five guys drafted in the first round. Something Arkansas. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. And Arkansas had great players, too. But what we were watching, Chad, was essentially double-A baseball.
Right.
Okay. Nobody's tuning in to watch the double-A World Series. But because the level of competition is even, right?
Right.
Because, everybody is on a high level, but like kind of the same level, the competition is fun to watch.
It's the most compelling matchup.
So
right.
Just let all the super, uber, DeAndre Aydens of the world just go into the NBA. You'll get back good competitive NCAA games, not guys just hanging on, not Calipari freshmen that he just recruits over and over. You'll get guys that want to play college basketball. And what you will get is really competitive college basketball games. And that'll be exciting. And that's a positive thing. And meanwhile, let's not stranglehold kids that should be able to work or farces like Sean Miller had going on with DeAndre Ayton in Arizona, which was just absurd. It'll actually help stop corruption in the NCAA and just get to, just the regular amounts of corruption in the NCAA.
I don't think the numbers are going to change that much. I don't think all these kids who are one and done are necessarily going to go directly into the NBA. The chance to be coached by a Mike Krzyzewski or somebody like that would be appealing to enough some of these kids to give it 1 year in college. It's not going to eliminate the one and done phenomenon.
But mostly.
I don't think mostly. I think that it will eliminate some of it. guys like DeAndre Ayton will go directly into the league. But the guys who want to have that college experience for at least 1 year, which I think will be a significant portion, will still go that route.
Well, for example, like Ben Simmons would never have gone to LSU had he been able to go.
No.
Carmelo Anthony did not have to go to college, but he did. I'm not exactly sure why. Perhaps he wanted to raise his stock a little bit more.
They won a national championship.
It was awesome! All right, bongos. Bum, bum, bum.
Three!
All right, when we come back, the difference in blowouts between the NFL and baseball. Why it means so much more. Details next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Speaking of baseball, tonight at 6 o'clock, our Rockies 25th anniversary special is at Jackson's Lodo. Kyle Freeland will be there, and right now the Rockies are leading the Diamondbacks 3-1. And Freeland is doing great again. Way to go, Kyle Freeland. And he's hung in there long enough. Now we're getting to that danger zone. You know, the game is not on TV. Oh, Ottavino relieved Russin. Ooh, so let me get a little box score here and see what Freeland actually did today. So Freeland on the day went 5 1/3, 6 hits, 1 run earned, 1 strikeout, or 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And that walk was intentional, by the way. How many pitches? I don't know. That seems a little early for him to be pulled out, doesn't it, Chad? I mean,
yeah,
5 1/3?
Yeah. How many pitches, though?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to find it. I can't find it. I don't know how many pitches. Usually in box scores, it's right there, and I don't... 98 pitches. 67 strikes. That is fantastic. Why'd they take him out? Did he give up something in the top of the six or something? Well, he went 5 1/3, so he got at least one out.
Losing command, losing control.
I think he could have probably hung in there for the rest of that inning. But whatever. You know, you pitch 5 innings, you get credit for the win if you do win the game. I would say another very positive outlook for Freeland. Oberg went in after him and got out of the inning untouched. Then Russin went in and he was fine. Ottavino's in now, and he's doing well, so we're doing all right here with our relievers. We're looking okay. We're looking okay so far, Chad. This was the moment in the seventh inning a couple days ago where Jake McGee decided to give the game away. So, you know, a little bit of a different situation, I guess.
I'd say no.
Well, let's hope it's a different situation. 3 outs, there you go. Ottavino got out of the inning. Way to go. Nice job. Nice job, Adam Ottavino. Otto should be an all-star. So anyways, Kyle Freeland will be there tonight, as well as Zach and Sandy. Thanks to Coors Light and the Play Ball exhibit at the Colorado History Center. There you go. That's tonight. That's a fun show. Freeland will be there. Blowouts in baseball compared to football. Chad, I think blowouts in baseball or basketball or a lot of other sports are meaningless. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. You know, the game's not going your way. You've got a million of them. So if you get blown out in baseball, you know, look at the Diamondbacks. They lost by a million runs yesterday. They're losing right now, which is good, but they're hardly getting blown out. The score's 3-1. You know, it's a close game. Okay. Blowouts in football.
Completely different deal.
So different. Completely. What do you consider a blowout in football? What's the score different in the NFL? Not college, but in the NFL.
28 points.
That by that much?
Yeah.
By that standard, a little research here, fellas, maybe. How many times did the Broncos get beat by 28 or more points last year? You say 28. You know what Al says as a blowout?
What's that?
10. So I definitely don't think it's 10.
28 would be a blowout. 21, you were beaten decisively, and some folks would call it a blowout.
Okay. I think 3 scores, so to me, like 17 seems... I mean, that's 3 times that you've got to possess the ball, score the ball. Actually, you know, so not 17, because you could get two-point conversions, right? 16.
Mm-hmm.
No, it'd be 17, because you'd have to score three times. So the Broncos only lost by 28 points one time. How many times by 17 or more?
There we go.
Because I think that's a three-score differential. I consider three scores in the NFL pretty preposterous. So how many times do they lose by more than 17 points? 17 or more? Six.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
That's a bad football team.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. You've had all week to get ready. The opportunities to score are few and far between compared to the other sports. You are just on meltdown. And most likely, I would guess, and it goes to heart, too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've been blown out, what is happening to the emotions of the players during a football game?
Well, when it first gets rolling, the blowout first gets rolling, you know, there's that guy in the huddle, come on, guys, come on, man, let's do this. At some point, your position coach pulls you aside in the sideline and either talks to you in a fatherly way or yells at you, depending on what kind of guy he is. Head coach, you know, yells at one side of the ball or another. Certain guys then move into, man, I'm just going to go out there and just do my thing and try to get some sacks or try to get some numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys move into, oh, you know what? I'll try to stay healthy and not really get involved in the action. I'm going to turn it down a little bit here.
Okay.
Then there's the third group, which is literally trying to find a way to turn it up, but with a split mindset.
So heart is definitely on the line here.
Heart's on the line, and heart, to me, is tied into the discipline of staying in the moment.
Pride.
Right. Not shifting from, oh, we're going to try to win this game as a team, to let me pad my stats and work on the back page of my contract.
So let's think about that for a second. When we come back with football at 4, if this happened to the Broncos 6 times last year, 6 times, what does that say, and how do you turn that around this year? We'll get to football at 4 next.